Do two things for me, if you would. Please open up your bulletin to the center page and open up your Bible, if you would, to the book of Philemon. Philemon is located in the New Testament. It's back by the book of Hebrews. It's after the books of 1 and 2 Thessalonians and 1 and 2 Timothy. It's not a book per se as much as it is a letter. The book of Philemon is 25 verses long. This is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote. It was written to a man named Philemon. Philemon lived in a city called Colossae. This city was a city that you would know because there was a book in the Bible written entitled Colossians. The Apostle Paul wrote that book, the book of Colossians, and he wrote it to the church that was, I believe, that was there in either in Philemon's house or at Colossae. And even though the Apostle Paul had never visited that city, he had much influence in that city. Philemon is a born-again Christian. He was led to the Lord by the Apostle Paul. Most Bible scholars believe that Philemon was led to the Lord in the city of Ephesus while he was traveling there, and he met Paul, and Paul introduced him to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We find that referenced in verse number 19 when Paul is making a point here, and Paul says that I've written it with mine own hand, I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self besides. And so the Apostle Paul had led Philemon to faith in Christ when he was in Ephesus. You need to know a little bit about Philemon. He's a very loved man at this moment. Matter of fact, if you look at verse number 1, Paul says, a prisoner of Jesus Christ and Timothy our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer. All right, and so you have here the reference that this is a good and godly man. You will find that again mentioned in verse number 6, how he has communicated of his faith, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. His wife and his son is mentioned in verse number 2. Paul references how much he loves those two folks and how that they are fellow soldiers and to the church that is in thy house. So this is a godly man, a good man, a giving man, a gentle man, and a man that the Apostle Paul loves dearly. What you need to know about this man to understand our lesson today is you need to understand that this is a man that has been wronged tremendously. In order for you to understand the depth of this note and the depth of the request that the Apostle Paul is asking of this man, you would have to understand the culture of the day. The culture of the day was a master-servant culture. Now, I want to make some things clear to you. Nowhere will you find in the Bible where the Bible is ever for slavery. The Bible is not for slavery. People in the Bible practiced slavery, but there's a lot of things that are in the Bible that God didn't approve of or ordain. God's not for human slavery. Matter of fact, it was the understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ that helped bring a biblical understanding to the sinfulness of slavery. All men are created equal. We're all made by God. And so back in this day, in the Roman culture of the world, slavery, along with that, there were guidelines and practices and understandings that were there. It was a very cruel and a very hard way of life if you were a slave. And so you had no rights, you had no abilities, and it was everything you would imagine it to be. Philemon was a man that was involved in and had servants. I believe that this was prior to him being saved. I think I can show this to you. But he was a good man he had been saved and God had changed him. But prior to that, I think he had a practice here. So when you understand the culture of what it was, you have to, in order to understand the crime that happened against Philemon. A crime was committed against him by a man named Onesimus. Say that out loud. Onesimus. Wipe the pew if you would, please. Onesimus. Now, Onesimus was Philemon's slave, his servant. I would dare say, prior to Philemon coming to faith in Christ, he was a hard man. Onesimus didn't want to be a slave anymore, and so Onesimus, one night, in the middle of the night, runs away, and if you look at verse number 18, he stole money from Philemon. Paul says, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee, put that on mine account. And so Onesimus commits a crime against Philemon in leaving his servanthood and stealing his money, and Onesimus heads to the city of Rome. Now, why he goes to Rome is because he feels like he can be lost on the streets of Rome. Hallelujah, praise God. You might be able to hide from man, but you cannot hide from God. And so as Onesimus is roaming and running the streets of Rome, trying to avoid slavery, God is guiding his footsteps so that he can come to know salvation. And while Onesimus is in Rome, Onesimus meets the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul leads Onesimus to faith in Jesus Christ. Look, if you would, at verse number 10 of this letter. I beseech thee for my, say that word, son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. And so as the Apostle Paul was a prisoner, he somehow is introduced to Onesimus. He leads Onesimus to faith in Christ. And Jesus did to Onesimus what Jesus does to all people who receive him. Jesus changed his life. And as you read the book of Colossians, you will find that Onesimus goes from being a dishonest servant of Philemon to a wonderful servant of the Lord. So impactful is the growth process and the change in Onesimus that the Apostle Paul himself in verse number 13 makes a fascinating statement. Whom I would have retained with me. That whom is Onesimus. I would have kept Onesimus with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. And so when Paul meets Onesimus and he leads him to faith in Christ, his life is radically changed. And now Onesimus begins to serve the Lord. He does it so powerfully and so wonderfully that Paul wants to keep him. Problem is, even the Apostle Paul is subject to the authority of the Holy Spirit of God. And so as the Apostle Paul is understanding what God has done in the life of Onesimus and hearing the testimony of Onesimus, the Apostle Paul also understands that Onesimus left Philemon. And Paul understands that getting right with God means you will get right with man. Getting right with God means you get right with man. The Bible said, if a man say that he loved God and hate his brother, he is a liar. Okay? So absolutely, how you love your neighbor is evidential to how much you love Jesus, or if you love Jesus. So here's the Apostle Paul. And he has a desire to keep Onesimus, but the Spirit of God is moving on Paul, and Paul understands that Onesimus has a responsibility to Philemon. Look, if you would, at verse number 14. But without thy, what's that word? Mind, would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. So the Apostle Paul knows that there is a broken relationship between Onesimus and Philemon, and he knows that Onesimus, now that he's a Christian, he's got to go make it right with Philemon. Now, Paul knows Philemon. He led him to the Lord. He knows him to be good and gentle and godly and giving, but he also knows that Philemon has a sinful nature. He also knows that Philemon has the law at his disposal. And the law said that Onesimus could be stoned, he could be crucified, he could be all of these things under Roman law, and that he could suffer. And so if Philemon wanted to, he could unleash the law on Onesimus. And so the Apostle Paul, knowing this very delicate situation, sits down and begins to write a note to Philemon. Pick up, if you would, please, in verse number 3. He begins with the word grace. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers. He's talking about Philemon here. Hearing of thy, what's that word? Love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward, say it, All saints. Now, if you are a saint in the room, say amen. He's not talking about all saints on Oakland Park Boulevard. I said something in the first service, and I want to say it in this service. And sometimes you just need your pastor to say things to you, then you just gotta hear it and let God do what he wants to do with it. And so I was moved in the first service, and I want to say this in the second service. All around our city, Catholic churches have festivals. Every person that is a born-again child of God that loves the Lord and loves the Word of God, I simply want to ask you, why would you attend or participate or let your child go to a festival at a Catholic church? Well, Pastor, it's innocent. No, it's not. Well, they're having fun, I understand. But there are good people inside Catholic churches. There are some former Catholic people in this room. Amen? But the Catholic Church does not teach salvation by grace through faith alone in the Lord Jesus Christ. They teach another gospel. They have a purpose in those festivals. I'm not telling you not to go. I'm not your Holy Spirit. I'm simply asking you as your pastor, why would you support that? Okay? Amen? So Paul says, now, Philemon, I've heard about how much you love the Lord and you love all what? Saints. Now remember, in Paul's mind, Onesimus now is no longer a slave of Philemon. He is a saint of the living God. So he's kind of lifting Philemon a little bit here. Look, if you would, at verse number 6. We talked about this, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy what class? Love. Because the bowels of the saints are refreshed by the brother. Now, you got to understand, in the Bible days, they wouldn't say, I love you with all my heart. They would say, I love you with all my bowels. We like heart better, don't we? I didn't see any Valentine's Day cards that said, I love you with all my bowels, all right? But it was the depth in the Roman world, the depth of the inner man would have been in his bowels. And so Paul tells Philemon, now listen, I understand that you love from the depth of your soul, and you love and you are refreshing the brethren and the church, and you are a good and godly man. Verse number 8 begins with what word, class? Wherefore. Now, wherever you see the word wherefore and wherever you see the word therefore, those are platform words, which means everything that's come before that is now summed up and there's an application made. Now, Philemon, I believe this letter is being read in his house where the church is. Philemon at this point is feeling pretty good. The Apostle Paul is bragging on me. He's telling me what a good man I am in the Lord. He's exposing my goodness there and the love of the Lord. And I mean, Philemon is probably here resting pretty easy. And then he gets down to verse number 8 and he says, now wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient. Pastor, that's a lot of old English words. What does he mean? The Apostle Paul says, now Philemon, you're all those things. Now what I'm about to tell you, I could demand of you. And what he was saying is Paul had apostolic authority. And back in that day, that apostolic authority was powerful. Just ask Ananias and Sapphira when they lied to the apostle. What happened to them? God killed them. So Paul could have said to Philemon, what I am about to ask of you, I demand you to do it. And that's just the way it's going to be. But remember what Paul said in verse 14. Now stay with me in your Bible. But without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy, what's that word? Benefit should not be, as it were, of necessity, but willingly. And so Paul doesn't want to demand here of Philemon. He wants Philemon to take this action from his own heart so he'll receive the benefit. Verse number 9. Yet, for, say those two words, love's sake. Yet for love's sake, I rather beseech thee or beg thee, being such a one as the apostle, the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ. Now, if you could just imagine Philemon standing there, the letters being read, and I'm sure as Philemon hears that Paul saying, I could demand this, he begins to think, and then Paul says, yeah, but for love's sake, I'm sure Philemon kind of melts a little bit, and then Paul drops the hammer on him. And when Paul drops the hammer on him, Paul drops the hammer. Verse number 10. I beseech thee for my son, say his name, Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds. Onesimus, I can just imagine what Philemon is thinking. Onesimus, that dirty, rotten scoundrel. Onesimus, he stole from me. That guy, Onesimus, your son, Onesimus. What do you mean your son? That, he was my slave. No, he's my son in the Lord. And I'm beseeching you, I'm begging you for love's sake for my son. Look at his request. In verse number 11. Which in time past was to thee unprofitable. That's true. But now profitable to thee and to me. Aren't you glad Jesus changes your life? Verse 12. Whom I have sent again, thou therefore receive him. That is mine own bowels. So here's the Apostle Paul. He understands he's got a saved brother here in Philemon. He understands he's got a saved brother over here in Onesimus. He understands that he has a massive, massive problem between the two of them in an explosive situation that could destroy not only them, but could destroy that whole church that's in his house, that could give great honor and opportunity for the enemy. And so the Apostle Paul very carefully is writing this letter, and he's looking to work this problem out, and he's on one solution, and that one solution is it must be worked out from the vantage point of love. He goes on in verse number 19 or verse number 17. He says, if thou count me therefore as a partner, receive him as myself. If he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it, albeit I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me, even thine own self. All right. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels in the Lord. Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. So the Apostle Paul is taking the liberty. He's taking the liberty that Philemon is going to receive this request, and he's going to receive the request for love's sake. Pastor, why would God send that man back to be a slave? Well, he didn't. Look, if you would, at verse number 16. When he asked him to receive him, he says, not now as a what? Servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in the Lord. So the Apostle Paul is sending Onesimus to Philemon, not to be Philemon's slave, but he's sending him as Philemon's brother. And the Apostle Paul is expecting Philemon, because of love, to receive Onesimus. Pause. Question. What would you do? What are you doing? What do you do? This explosive situation can only be mediated by the power of love. Now, the love that they're talking about here is a very specific love. Now, watch the pastor very carefully. There's three types of love in the Bible. There's eros love or erotic love. We know what that is. There's phileo or brotherly love. Philadelphia. Oxymoron, okay? All right, so the city of brotherly love. The third love the Bible talks about is this love, and it's called agape love. Now, agape love is not a love that you and I have the ability to stir up within ourselves. You were not born with agape love. You received the ability to agape when you were born again. Okay, so this love that Paul is asking Philemon to submit himself to is not a normal human love. Matter of the fact, you find this love described in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's in your bulletin. Agape love is a love, it's referred to as charity. It's a love that's patient. It's a love that's kind. It's a love that doesn't envy itself. It's a love that's not vaunting or puffed up, doth not behave itself unseemly, does not seek her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil. It rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. It beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. This is a love that never fails. This is the same word when the Bible says God is what class? Love. God is agape. God is love. Philemon, for agape's sake, Philemon, I know this is not within your normal humanity, but Philemon, you're a child of the living God. And when the Spirit of God moved into your heart, he brings the ability of God. Philemon, or Onesimus, this is not within your ability, but now the Spirit of God is there. So now you don't need to look at Philemon as a dirty, rotten master. He's your brother. So Onesimus, for agape's sake, go make it right. Philemon, for agape's sake, receive Onesimus. Proof is in the pudding. That's not in the Bible. If a man say he loved God and hate his brother, he's a what? A liar. So I want to ask you a question, Christian. I want you to think long and hard about this. What is God asking you to do for love's sake. What is God asking you to do for agape's sake? Not for eros or even for phileo. Not for your own selfishness or for my own advancement. But what is God asking you to do for love's sake? I found five or six things that I just think we can put in pretty good vernacular that God was asking Philemon to do. I think that Paul's asking Philemon, number one, to humble himself for agape's sake. Now, Philemon, I know that he mistreated you, but for agape's sake, would you humble? Pastor, I could never humble myself, man. No way. Those people wronged me. They did it. They know they did it. They rubbed my face in it. They flaunted it. There's no way I'm humbling myself for agape's sake. I can't do that. I can do. By the way, if Jesus lives in you, you have the ability to humble yourself. I think he was asking Philemon to suffer the wrong. Pastor, those people are wrong. I'm innocent. Those people did this. There's no way in the world, man. They wronged me. They hurt me. They did this. And Paul said to Philemon, for agape's sake, suffer the wrong. I love what he says here in verse number 19. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will, what class? Repay it. You know, God will repay people. That's not our responsibility to repay people. Philemon, for love's sake, humble yourself. Philemon, for love's sake, suffer the wrong. Philemon, for love's sake, forgive. Forgive. Pastor, I cannot forgive them. If forgiveness is impossible for you, then you're not a Christian. If forgiveness is impossible for you, then you're not a Christian. I did not say that you don't want to forgive. You can be a Christian and not want to forgive. You can be a Christian and have a hard time forgiving. You can be a Christian and really be eaten up about it. But when you boil it all down, the Bible says, as God hath also forgiven you. So if forgiveness is an impossibility within you, then God's not within you. So the person who says they're a Christian and for 40 years you have sat and you have simmered and you have burned up your physical body, that's not biblical. Amen, Pastor. Read Ephesians chapter 4. I think he's asking Philemon to take a stand for love's sake, be a testimony for love's sake. He was asking him to look forward and not to the past for love's sake. And he was asking him to restore for love's sake. So here's basically, if you want to boil it down into one sentence. Philemon, I want you to do what's impossible for you to do. Philemon, I want you to do what is impossible for you to do. Now, I could demand you to do it, but your heart wouldn't be in it. I could make you do it, but it wouldn't be right. So, Philemon, for love's sake, for agape's sake, for God's sake, for Christ's sake, would you take Onesimus back? What's God asking you to do for love's sake? Shall we pray?